morning, men. Hey, I want to say a word about Brett's leadership development table. Some of you, Aubrey, others around, have been through that. That is a tremendous opportunity to get some very profound leadership principles from some of the best leadership training that's really available anywhere, I think, anywhere. And just out of curiosity, how many of you might be interested in exploring going to that leadership development table? Let me see your hands. Okay, that's good. So you got enough there for a table. Please see Brett or email him at, what is it, brettklemmer@manofthemirror.org? Yes? Brett, two T's, Klemmer, two M's and two E's, brettklemmer@manofthemirror.org. Okay, so you want to be in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Hey, I love technology. I've got the high-definition cable vision. They brought the box out, and of course the resolution is fantastic. Feel like you're right there, can crawl right into the huddle of the football game. Well, it started getting these little lines streaking across it, and then it would go away, and then it got worse, and then now what's happening is about five or six times in a row after you turn it on, the little streaks come along and then it turns blue. Well, it was doing this, and then after it was blue screen for a few seconds, it would go back to the regular picture. Well, it just kept getting worse and worse until finally it turned to a blue screen and it stayed blue. So I walked over and slapped the HD machine, and this picture comes back just fine. Well, I've been doing that. I have a very high tolerance for inconvenience, and so I've been doing that for several months, but it keeps getting worse and worse. Every time I hit it, I guess I probably jiggle loose a little further, whatever is jiggled loose to begin with. And so anyway, right now, it's happening, you know, five or six times every time I turn on the TV. It goes to this little jiggle, this little screen flutters, and then it goes blue. I walk over, I hit the machine, it turns right again, and then after five or six repetitions, finally it seems to hold. Well, my tolerance for inconvenience has come to its natural conclusion this week. So I called Cablevision yesterday and said, hey, I need some help. I said, I've rebooted this thing several times, and I explained what I was doing, and then when it went blue, I said, I just give it a good pop, and everything works out pretty fine after five or six tries. And she said, well, first of all, sir, I wouldn't recommend hitting the equipment as a way of making the television picture. And I said to her, I said, hey, look, everybody knows this is how you do it. And she laughed. But I was just so, yeah, I'd pass it down to the children, right? But I was just absolutely determined to get that HD box to work. The problem is, determination is not a strategy. There are some other things that are involved. This morning, I'm going to have us take a look at spiritual warfare, and we're going to ask the question, the title of the message is, how is spiritual warfare relevant today? We'll talk about what it is, we'll talk about how it is relevant to daily life, and then we will talk about how we can go about conducting spiritual warfare. First, what is it? Before we start delving into how to do it, we probably should make sure we are on the same page about what it actually is. At Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, read with me. A final word, Paul writes in the book of Ephesians, a final word, be strong in the Lord, and in his mighty power, put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. So we pick up three things, at least, very quickly from this. Number one is that we do have an opponent. You have an opponent, an adversary, an enemy, and his name is devil. The second thing that we pick up from the text is that there is organization. There is organization in this opponent. It says there are evil rulers and authorities in an unseen world, mighty powers in a dark world, evil spirits in the heavenly places. So there is a devil who is an opponent. He has organization and he has strategies. Notice what it says. It says, put on every piece of God's armor you can find. Well, actually, it doesn't say that, does it? It says, put it all on. It says, put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the what? Strategies. The strategies of the devil. So there is a devil. There is an opponent. He does have organization and he does have strategy. And trust me when I say that determination is not his strategy. Determination doesn't work as a strategy. Let me tell you what his strategy is. Sun Tzu's book, Art of War, everybody's at least heard of this book. It's kind of a strawy little book. But I want to read to you from this 2,400-year-old Chinese warrior. He writes this. He says, all warfare is based on deception. Therefore, when capable of attacking, feign incapacity. When active in moving troops, feign inactivity. When near the enemy, make it seem that you are far away. When far away, make it seem that you are near. Hold out baits to lure the enemy. Strike the enemy when he is in disorder. Prepare against the enemy when he is secure in all points. Avoid the enemy for the time being when he is stronger. If your opponent is of choleric temper, try to irritate him. If he is arrogant, try to encourage his egotism. If the enemy troops are well prepared after reorganization, try to wear them down. If they are united, try to sow dissension among them. Attack the enemy when he's unprepared and appear where you are not expected. These are the keys to victory for a strategist. With more careful calculations, one can win. With less, one cannot. Says all warfare is based, he says, all warfare is based on deception. Deception is a strategy, and that is the strategy of our opponent. By the way, I might as well just go ahead and get this out of the way. Satan's no big deal. You know, he's a little flea that comes along every now and then and gives you a little flea bite. The whole Bible talks about God. I think there's something like 80-some-odd references to the devil. He's really no big deal. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. If you pray the Lord's Prayer, Lord, deliver us from evil, every time you pray that, you just sort of drop kick this little weenie, spiritual weenie, back where he belongs. So he's not really that big of a deal unless your only strategy is determination. Spiritual warfare is very relevant for today because we still have this same adversary running around. Now, what is God's objective? Or what are his objectives? Within a certain range, salvation. God's objective is salvation, sanctification, that we be involved in service, that we be in right relationship with God, that we be in right relationship with other people. And you can probably airbrush out other objectives, but you can probably also fit almost everything that God would have as an objective under one of those things. So what is Satan's objective then? What is the devil's objective then? Well, his number one objective would be, if you're not a Christian, would be to keep you out of Christ's kingdom. That would be the overarching objective. It would be to keep you out of Christ's kingdom, often by deceiving you into thinking that you're already in. And the second way would be to, if you are into the kingdom, to figure out how to make you live in defeat. To tempt you in such ways that you're overcome by these temptations. And that's where the strategies come in. Now, where's this war fought? What is spiritual warfare? It's the question we're looking at. Where's this war fought? Is it really fought in the adult bookstores? Is it really fought in bars? No, it's where it's really fought is really fought right here. It's really fought right there. It's really fought right inside you, right here. Also right up here, from there to there. It's fought right there, right there. That's where the battle's fought. Galatians 5:16-17. The flesh and the spirit are constantly at battle with each other. Because the flesh wants what the spirit doesn't want, and the spirit wants what the flesh doesn't want. So there's this spiritual battle that's going on inside of us between the spirit and the flesh. And it's always there. No matter how, we've talked about this many times here at the Bible study, no matter how much you're able to be living in victory, you always have, he may have his hands tied behind his back, you may have pounded his face so that it's bruised and bloody and pudgy, but nevertheless, he's looking for a way to, like Houdini, to get untied so he can come back at you. And as soon as you turn your back on him, he will. So he's not that big of a deal, but he is pretty persistent. He's not that big of a deal. Ooh, that'd be a good idea. He's not that big of a deal, but he is pretty persistent. It's not the big idea this morning, but it would have been a good one. Satan is not that big of a deal, but he is pretty persistent. So even though you can kind of just flick him off, you know, just take your fingers, you know, anytime you are aware that he's there, you can just, see you, Buster. But he will be persistent. He'll be there a lot. And that's the way, I think you should be looking at spiritual warfare. It's not this overwhelming thing, this massive oppression that we're constantly under, that we're walking around oppressed and depressed and, oh, I don't know if I'm going to make it. Oh, the devil's after me. You know, he's just not that big of a deal. Persistent. It's just not that big of a deal. So don't be looking for demons behind every bush, but know that every now and then a bush is going to have a demon behind it. That's the way it is. That's the way it is. And when you read the text, you realize, you know it's a pretty pervasive presence, because it says, you know, you're not fighting against flesh and blood. You know, when you and I have a problem, it's not you I'm having a problem with. It's not against flesh and blood that we're struggling. It's against these unseen forces, these spiritual forces of darkness in the heavenly realms. Yeah, I get to actually have the argument with you, but it really is part of a spiritual battle. So I think a good big idea for the day would be this. In spiritual warfare, determination is not a strategy. In spiritual warfare, determination is not a strategy. It's not enough to be determined. You have to also understand how the battle is fought and how you can fight back. Next, let's talk about how is spiritual warfare relevant to daily life. Let me read again from Sun Tzu. Sun Tzu says, in order to make soldiers courageous in overcoming the enemy, they must be roused to anger. In order to make soldiers courageous in overcoming the enemy, they must be roused to anger. So, my brothers, Jesus came that you might have life and have it abundantly, but the thief has come to kill and destroy. Satan prowls around the world like a hungry lion looking for someone to devour. Your enemy is known as the deceiver. He wants to deceive you. Deception is his strategy. Just don't let determination be your strategy. Deception is his strategy. He's the father of lies. And so there are these two languages being spoken. Truth and lies. Truth and lies. We've said before, all men either live by the truth or a good lie. And Satan is the father of every good lie that men choose to follow. In World War II, Admiral Yamamoto successfully orchestrated a deception. He disguised plans to send 250 warplanes on December 7, 1941, to descend on Pearl Harbor like a swarm of bees. And they sunk or crippled 18 U.S. warships and killed something like 2,390 American citizens. And he was on a roll. He was a great warrior. Next, he planned what he thought would be a decisive blow against the Americans at Midway. And he mobilized several hundred ships. But in the meantime, the Americans had been intercepting the encrypted codes of the Japanese, which we had named the Purple Code. And in a secret location, we had been able to construct a purple machine, and we had been able to decipher these encrypted codes. And so as Admiral Yamamoto was sending his instructions all around the Pacific, the Americans intercepted these messages and decrypted him, and so we knew exactly what he was planning to do at Midway. And so we met deception with deception, and we set up an ambush. And yes, we lost 300 Americans in the Battle of Midway, but Yamamoto lost 3,500, and now he was on the run. He still didn't know that we had been able to decipher his messages. So next he goes to Guadalcanal, and then we give him another crushing blow, and now the Pacific Fleet of the Japanese are beginning to become demoralized. And so early in 1943, he plans a trip around the Pacific Basin to try to rally the troops and get morale back. But we also intercepted that message, and we sent 18 P-38s on a mission. I was just wondering this morning, we had 18 ships that were devastated at Pearl Harbor, and we sent 18 P-38s. I wonder if there's some symbolism there. We sent 18 P-38s to the route that we knew that Admiral Yamamoto would be taking, and we assassinated the enemy. Many believe that had we not come up with the Purple Code, that we may have lost World War II, that and the Ydig machine from Germany. Right now, as you sit here, there is an enemy who is plotting your defeat. And you have been given the Purple Code. You've got the Purple Machine right in your hands. Right in your hands. So, let's take a look. It's very relevant for today. We have it right in our hands. Let's take a look again. In spiritual warfare, remember that determination is not a strategy. You need to actually know what you need to do. So let's talk about how to conduct warfare. I'm going to give you 7 points of strategy. This may be too many. There may be others I'm missing. And I'm going to give you a 7-point strategy for spiritual warfare. Number one is to believe you are at war. Believe you're at war. You can't win a war if you think you're at peace. The war on terrorism, there are millions of people who don't think we should be at war on terrorism because they don't think there's really a war that's a threat to us. Now, I find it incomprehensible, but that's the way, well, that's a political comment, not a biblical comment. But anyway, the point is that you can't win a war if you think you're at peace. You have to have the right thinking on that. So strategy number one is believe you're at war. Believe you're at war. Number two is to understand your enemy. Understand your enemy. You can't win a war if you don't recognize your enemy. This was the problem we had in Vietnam. We were not able to distinguish between friend and foe. Let me read again from Art of War. Sun Tzu says this. He says, "Therefore I say, know the enemy and know yourself. In 100 battles you will never be defeated." He says, if you do these 2 things, if you know the enemy and you know yourself. "When you are ignorant of the enemy but know yourself, your chances of winning or losing are only equal. If you are ignorant of both your enemy and yourself, you are sure to be defeated in every battle." Number three. Strategy number three, strategy number one is believe you're at war. Number two is understand your enemy. Number three is to arm yourself. Look at chapter 6, verse 13 of Ephesians. And let's look at how the Christian arms himself. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then, after the battle, you will be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. The belt of truth. The truth of God to cover your loins. And then the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, and remember that in that period of time, it was not unusual to have shoes that were made of some durable substance like brass, because a very clever enemy tactic would be to put sharp sticks in the path of the approaching army so that you would incapacitate them by piercing their feet. So, for shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, the gospel, so that you'll be fully prepared. So, embrace the gospel. As someone has said, preach the gospel to yourself every day. You know, the message that I need to be in a state of repentance. 16, in addition to all these, hold on to the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. What are the fiery arrows of the devil? What are they? Lies. Temptations. Temptations to pride, to think of yourself as better than somebody else because you're a better Christian. The temptation to, maybe you're an alcoholic and it's the temptation to go to lunch with guys that you know drink martinis. It's kind of stupid. No, it's not. I didn't mean to say it was kind of stupid. I apologize. It's very stupid. Verse 17, put on salvation as your helmet. We are rational beings. Salvation takes place in the mind. We decide to follow Jesus. Now, why we decide to follow Jesus is because he enables us to do that. But nevertheless, we make the decision, salvation. So put on salvation as a helmet to guard your head. And then take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And verse 18 says, pray in the Spirit as often as you can. Now it says, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert. Be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. So this is the armor of God. You have something for your loins, something for your chest where your heart is to protect your heart. You have something for your feet. You have a shield. You have a helmet. You have a sword. You have weapons. You have weapons. Arm yourself as a strategy. So believe you're at war. Know your enemy, arm yourself, and then get trained. Get trained. Watch this.
Go. 10.99.
I'm tough, Creasy.
Yeah? No such thing as tough. There's trained, and then there's untrained. And now, which are you?
Trained.
Trained. Okay, let's go again.
I'm tough, Creasy. There's no such thing as tough. Tough is not a strategy. Determination is not a strategy. You're either trained or you're not trained. Now, what are you? Yeah. Training. Get trained. Know how to use these weapons. Number five, subdue temptations. Part of your strategy is to subdue temptations. We talked about martini lunches. If that's a problem, don't go where somebody's having martini lunches. If lust is a problem for you, don't buy a swimsuit edition of Sports Illustrated. Don't buy a swimsuit calendar and hang it on your wall if you are tempted by lust. You probably shouldn't buy a swimsuit edition calendar for your wall anyway. But anyway, that's a different issue. If you have a temper, if you are tempted to lose your anger easily, then you should put yourself in lower stress situations so that you don't subdue your temptations. And then number six, community. Be in community with other believers. The wolf never attacks the flock. The wolf always waits for a stray and then attacks the lone sheep. And then seven, from the text, stay alert, stay alert, stay alert. So believe you're at war, understand the enemy, arm yourself, train, subdue your temptations, be in community, and then stay alert. And then every time he lands, you'll feel the light touch, and all you have to do is just reach up, and that's spiritual warfare. That's all there is to it. Let's pray. Lord, in spiritual warfare, determination is not a strategy, but these 7 points are. And Lord, I pray that you'd help each of us to not be overwhelmed by what is really a minor foe if we address him properly, but rather that we'd be trained and that we would use the strategy and that we would win the battle. And we know that you have in writing guaranteed the victory. So we thank you for this. And we pray that we would live until that ultimate victory, not in defeat, but in victory by using strategy, not determination. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.